fantastic word. Amen. Wow. Sometimes you're just out there just like, let's just keep doing that. That's just like awesome worship. Good job, guy. Such a blessing. Good to see you guys again. It's always an honor to be here. I do have a really big prayer request. My sister's here with my brother-in-law, and this is pretty important. That's the land I deer hunt on, and October 1st, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. No. Let's pray for today's sermon, shall we? So, Father, we just thank you for your anointing that's in this room. We thank you for your presence. God, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, that we do know how the story ends, that we know who you are. God, that we are saved, redeemed, healed by the blood of the Lamb. And what a joy it is, Lord, to just be with brothers and sisters in Christ and to hang out together. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk to you about wearing what fits. I'm not talking about eating too much food or your clothes being tight. I'm sorry if they are. Hopefully you get more comfortable today. I'm just kidding. Wearing what fits. You know, a lot of us come into church and we're wearing things. We're wearing the heaviness of life. We're wearing the heaviness of work. Maybe usually fights happen between couples on the way to church. So maybe you had one of those today, you know, and you're just processing life or whatever. And, you know, a lot of times we carry these things, and a lot of times God doesn't want us to carry them. He wants us to learn how to surrender these things and learn how to hone in on what he has for us. So we're going to walk through this conversation in 1 Samuel where David's talking to Saul before he's going out to fight Goliath. And it's this very interesting conversation and perspective between the two. And a lot of times, like in our spiritual lives, we try to put things on us that God has never put on us. Or sometimes there are people in our lives that try to place things on us that God has never called us to wear. And when that happens, it's easy for us to try to fit in, to try to make things happen, to try to muster things up in our own human strength and try to make ourselves look good, fit in, or to be more than what God's anointed us to be. And when we realize that human willpower is nothing compared to anointing, it's at that moment that we really begin to wear what fits. And we'll unpack what that means today. So I want to start in 1 Samuel. We're going to read through verses 32 through 40, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time together kind of unpacking those verses. So let's just read through this. So David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. Let's pause right there for that, and let's just look at this dialogue that's happening between the two. So, verse 32, David steps up, and he's confident, and he starts talking. Imagine he's in the king's court, you know, so there's a lot of people around in this conversation, and Saul and him are having this conversation. He's like, "Let no one lose heart." So he's trying to speak hope into the church, because it was the Israelites. Same context here. He's speaking to the church and saying, this is what's, don't lose heart on account of this Philistine. You're all scared to death. The enemy's on the front line. Everybody's scared to death of this giant. None of the other Philistine or the Israelite soldiers will even go out and fight. And he says, don't lose heart. And David says, your servant will go and fight him. Now, David seems a little cocky, a little overconfident in this. But what we'll find is that his confidence wasn't in himself. In fact, he calls himself a servant. And if God is calling you to something in your life, he's calling you first to be a servant. And if you're going to fight any giant in your life or wanting to overcome anything in your life, you got to find where the anointing is on your life and then also come under that anointing with a servant's heart. Anything more than that, it becomes human willpower. And that's not the way God has designed us to live this Christian life. And then Saul replies. First thing he says to him, you're not able. How many of you have had you're not ables in your life? People that say, you can't do this, and here's why. He says, you're only a young man. And he's been a warrior from his youth. It's like, here, you're this young shepherd boy, and he's this great warrior. By the looks of everything on the outside, David should not have been able to go into this battle. So we see with Saul, he's speaking from human logic. He's speaking from human experience. He's looking at age. He's looking at skill. He's looking at resume, which a lot of people do that. And they make spiritual decisions with human wisdom instead of looking at anointing. It destroys businesses. That destroys churches. That destroys families. But when you look at the anointing and you look at the servanthood and the anointing combination between the two, that's where you'll find your purpose and what God's wanting to do in and through your life. So Saul's speaking from human logic, but David was speaking from God's anointing. That's the clash we face all the time. Many of us have been in these situations where someone says, you're too old, you're too young, you're unqualified, you're not experienced enough, but here's what God's anointing says to you. I've chosen you. You're set apart. I've equipped you for this very moment. You know, Zechariah 4:6 reminds us. It says, there it is. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That it's not through our own might, it's not through our own power that we accomplish what God wants to do in and through our life. It's through anointing, which we see that in 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, speaking of David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So there was this moment where he was giving what would fit him for this season of his life. That before that, he was a shepherd. And he was doing his thing. And he knew somehow, someday, something would happen in his life. He didn't know, but he was being faithful with the little that he had been given. And he was faithful day in and day out. And that's the thing that God is calling you to today. It's like, what is God calling you to be faithful with today? Maybe it seems small. Maybe it seems insignificant. I can remember when I was 18 years old, gave my life to Christ. By the grace of God, my pastor took me in. And I moved in with them because my home life was a train wreck. And after I lived with my sister because she knew I was a train wreck, and my sister's the one that led me to Christ. And so you see these things in our life where, you know, God rescues us and he puts us in these places for a season to learn what fits us and to learn what it means to walk in anointing, like Moses for 40 years in the desert. Or where you have Abraham and Sarah waiting for this child in old age. So I lived with my pastor. I was 18 years old, was doing leadership stuff when I shouldn't have been because I was not ready. I was ignorant, didn't know the scriptures. Like, I was a fool, as the Bible says, at that time. But God, in his grace, put me in this position to be able to go through leadership seminary with him and to be able to be trained, and then at the same time, I had to find a job, because the church was small. I mean, it was a big church, but they couldn't just some punk 18-year-old kid that wants to help with the youth, you know. And I wasn't even the youth pastor. I was just starting to help with the youth. So I started as a laborer for a plasterer, washing buckets. I didn't even have a trade or nothing to my name. And met my wife that I was dating at that time. So by my trade, I'm a plasterer. And while I was doing ministry, I was doing drywall, plaster, painting, and pastoring for 20 years. We said for this little season, I was at a very large church for 4 years before I had my own church. And so that season, when I was younger, was one of those moments where I wanted so bad to be in quote-unquote full-time ministry. And maybe some of you feel that pressure in your life where you're just like, if I could only be in full-time ministry. What I want to tell you, getting a paycheck from a church is not what it means to have full-time ministry. You are in full-time ministry today. That the anointing that's on your life is what God is calling you into. And if there's one thing that I would love to see with this church is every seat filled, all of us realizing our anointing that God's placed on our life and using the anointing, the gifts and talents that he's calling us to reach our neighborhoods for Christ, to share Christ, to invite people. Because in the world that we live in, not that it hasn't been like that all throughout history, but the world needs Christ. And you are the ones that have been anointed in your own gift mix, your own anointing. Maybe you're not a public speaker. You don't have to be. Maybe you're not eloquent with your words. Neither was Moses. But maybe you're a really good mechanic, and you work with a bunch of people that cuss like truckers and don't know Jesus. Where has God placed you today? What is the sling that you have? That's what God's wanting us to know today. And here's the thing with sermons. A lot of times we come and we listen to a sermon, but church, I want you to walk out of here not saying, oh, that was a good message. It's nice when people say that. But what I want to hear is the Holy Spirit changed my heart. You can forget the words. I don't care about that. But if you walk out of here on fire for Christ, if you walk out of here with boldness to share Christ like you've never shared Christ before, like the aftermath of Charlie Kirk being shot. You see this through social media and all this stuff where people that have never shared their faith are rising up and sharing their faith. I had a conversation with a young gentleman this week where he goes, I don't know what to do, but I have this urge to share Christ. I said, you have social media. He goes, but there's so many people on there. I said, yeah, but also your friends are there too. I said, pin the gospel at the top of your Facebook page. You know, talk to your friends at work. I'm not saying, but do it. I said, you have to do it with the anointing of a servant. You can't just walk up to people and say you're going to hell. You can't. You can. I wouldn't suggest it. Not a good plan. But what you want to do is, what is your anointing that God's placed in your life? What's the sling? What's the stones? What's the thing that God has placed on you? Because we all have our own lane. And when I was young, by the grace of God, the pastor had spoke with me, and he said, Casey, you have an anointing on your life that God has destined for you. It's your, just like this row, it's your lane to run. And I realized by his leadership and being under that leadership that God has no favorites. No matter who you, what books you read, what leaders you follow, God has no favorites. He doesn't put one person above another. That literally we all have giftings and calling. Your anointing in your life is not for me to work. It's to encourage and encourage people to successfully do what God's called them to do. But I'm not to compare myself to someone else because God may have me in the shepherd's field right now because I'm not ready to be king. I'm not ready to fight this giant. But as you'll see as we unpack this sermon, that the more faithful we are with the anointing that God's placed on our life, the more we're going to grow and come into what God's destined us to do, why he's gifted us the way that he's gifted us. Maybe some of you are to be the best teacher. And that's a hard job. You know, and all of us are called here. You're here for a reason, to be a part of this body, a part of this community, to reach Aledo, to reach Joy, to reach this neighborhood. You know, I have this idea in my head of what does a one-acre faith look like? I've just been mulling that around in my head the last 6-8 weeks. What's a one-acre faith? Like, if you take an acre, like, I have to lean on a farmer to really help me nail this down, but, like, how much square footage that is? And what if you said, okay, that one-acre faith, that's my shepherd's field, and that equals my neighborhood, or that equals Joe down the street, or I know Mike and John and Jack. I'm going to invite those three people to over to my house first, and we're going to have dinner and hang out, and then, you know, we're going to watch, you know, Platoon or Braveheart or something like that. No, not Platoon. It's not a great movie. So I'm kidding. It's got good parts, you know. But then, you know, and I'm going to start reaching out to my neighborhood. And that's the anointing that God's placed on me now. And then what you'll see is you're going to walk in here one day, 8 o'clock's full, 10:15's full, people are waiting in the lobby, you're piping stuff outside. That's what God wants to do. But here's the thing. It's not the anointing of a pastor. It's not the anointing of a leadership team. It's not about going to a men's conference. Those are great. They fill us up. It's about what's God anointed you to do. And ensuring that what God is putting on you, that you aren't carrying something that humans are putting on you. Look at this. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, it says, not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. If you're relying on your resume, on your schooling, I'm not against those things. Those are fantastic things. But Scripture says that the wisdom of this world is foolish in God's sight. The Apostle Paul said, hey, not only did he say he's the chief of all sinners, he also said, you know, I have a resume. You want to see my resume? I am the Pharisee of all Pharisees. You know, and he gives this whole litany of who he is and all that he can do. If I can boast about anything, he says, I can boast about this and this, but I consider it all as rubbish compared to Christ. And there are holes in this church that are only to be filled by you. Not by the person next to you, by you. There's a role that God wants you to play here in this community because we're ambassadors for Christ. We're reconcilers of faith. And so we see Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. How is someone a witness? You say, hey, what happened? Someone says, what happened? And then you say, well, this is what happened. And you tell them about Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing. And the great thing is Scripture says, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will speak for you. You don't have to have this perfect message. It's just like, John, hey, you're always nagging about these fights you have with your wife. Can I just pray for you? That's got to be tough, man. You know, what's going on? That's how the door opens. Because here's the thing. We don't win people to Christ with our words. It's by using our words that the Holy Spirit works. It says, how will they know unless the word of God is preached? But the anointing, it doesn't come from trying to convince. It comes through the anointing. And the anointing is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God flows through us. It pierces the person's heart. They realize that they're spiritually dead and that they're going to be lost forever if they don't know Christ. So it's not about being eloquent or having these perfect words. It's about anointing. So when you're facing giants, whatever they are, whether it's the being nervous to share your faith or maybe whatever is going on, we're all carrying garbage. It doesn't matter who we are. Me, we all have stuff. We can all sit around and say, this is what's horrible in my life, you know? But when we face those giants, we don't need more willpower. We need God's power. We don't need a better resume. We need God's anointing. And if we have the Spirit of Christ living within us, guess what? We have the anointing. God's gifted you. He's called you. He's done something in your life that only is. I love this phrase. It's not mine. I can't take it as my own. That when he created you, he broke the mold. There's not another person like you. There never will be. And I think about that a lot in my life. That, you know, there's never going to be another Casey. So I have a lane that I need to run in. I have a way that I need to live my life. And I don't have to prove myself to man, because then you end up with the fear of man. I don't have, you know, you don't have to, you know, Paul talks about worshiping, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos and worshiping this leader, worshiping the last leader. But we're all just servants that all have anointings. The person standing up here is no different than the mechanic fixing the car. Zero. In fact, the Bible says, and this makes me stay awake at night, those who teach will be judged more strictly. That scares me. So you got to be very eloquent with what, and dial that in with what you talk about. So we want God's anointing. Doesn't matter what the world thinks, but we need to wear what God has placed us on us, which we'll see with David. So David is talking with Saul, and Saul is doubting David's ability. But here's his lens that he's looking through. He's looking through this lens of military victories, trophies, or credentials. He's listing all these things that, quote unquote, make up a warrior. Quote unquote, that makes someone who is successful. And especially Western Americans that are, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We want to look successful. We want to be successful. We want the world to look at us and know that we've accomplished something. But that is counterintuitive to the kingdom. Everything in the kingdom of God is upside down and backwards. If you want to be great, you have to be least. If you want to be first, you have to be last. If you want to be like your master, you have to be the servant of all. You have to wash people's feet. And I love that verse too that says, if someone comes into your assembly and they're dressed in these fine clothes and you give them this really nice seat up front, and then somebody else that's filthy, comes in and you tell them to sit on the floor in the back. That is the upside down way of the kingdom of God. Then there's people in our lives that maybe there's an anointing on our lives to communicate with those that are the downtrodden and the orphan and the widow. And God's given you the means to work with those people, to work with the addicts. Two of the people I've seen do that so faithfully in your life are Rock and Joni Caldwell, sitting back here, friends of mine. And watching them through the years of being faithfully minister to those that most would ignore. And I don't mean that in a condescending way, but it's easy to just get busy. It's easy to forget the anointing in the midst of just life. But it's all about the kingdom. Everything else is a vehicle. So Saul's doubting David. He lifts off his military victories, and then David lists off God's track record. And listen, Dave says, I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. The Lord who rescued me will rescue me again. Isn't that interesting? He does claim, I'm the one that did those things. But it wasn't arrogance on David's part. He was realizing the reason that he was able to accomplish those things is because the very anointing that was on his life. God's the one that gave him the ability to kill the lion, to kill the bear. And he did those things to protect the sheep. He didn't run to his brothers and say, hey, guess what I did today? I did this and I did that and I did that. No, he did it and he went about his job, waiting for the moment for God to anoint him for his next. Because if we look at this, he had the anointing before he had the position. But a lot of times we want the position, like I did when I was young, before the anointing comes. And that's how you see pastors fall, churches be destroyed, businesses fall apart, marriages fall apart, is whenever we put power, visibility, prominence, position over anointing. And that's a word of warning when we're serving anywhere, whether we're on a board for a company, whether we run a company, having conversations with our kids, we all, at all costs must preserve and protect anointing in our own life, in our churches, in our businesses, and just life. Because Psalm 124 says this. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. Revelations 12:11 says they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's the blood of Christ that we triumph over demonic strongholds and spirits that would want to steal, kill, and destroy, because Scripture says that the wages of our warfare are not against flesh and blood, but they're against principalities and powers. So if you're at odds with a person, you're at odds with a principality. You're at odds with someone who is anti-Christ. And that's not them. They're the person that's in bondage, according to Scripture. But the anointing in you can be full of compassion and mercy and grace when you give the word of your testimony. And how do we overcome? By the word of our testimony. How do people know our testimony if we don't share it? So there's this back and forth with David, whether he can overcome or not. He's giving God's resume. Saul is bantering back and forth, and Saul says, great, may the Lord be with you. Okay, you think it's done. It's like, great, he's got this now. God is going with me. David's like, I'm confident now. And then Saul does this. Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. He still, after David gave his case, God's got this. It's all good. God's going to take care of me. And then he still goes, yeah, but you're just a shepherd. And he puts this on him. Because here was Saul's thought. You don't look like a fighter. You need to wear what I wear. You need to look the way I look. You need the resume that I have. You need to know this person that I know. You need to work the angles. You need to lie, cheat, steal. You have to, you know, you got to come to this meeting because this is going to get you the promotion that you can get to. And if you're just a little bit dishonest, you're going to, it'll be okay. Because that's the human logic. But that destroys anointing. And it's better to suffer and keep your anointing than to be like Judas, who was the treasurer, was entrusted with that, and sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Saul was saying, you need to rely what I rely on. And David's saying, no, I don't. Because God's been preparing me for this season. I've been prepared for right now. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he, meaning the Lord, will make your path straight. This is difficult as a human because we want to prove ourselves. And I'm not talking about, there's nothing wrong with working hard. But also we work hard and do everything under the Lord. David learned, he practiced, you know, whether you're shooting a bow or throwing a sling or whatever. You practice because you want your groups to be good. You want to hit the giant. You want to hit the buck, whatever. You know, you want to know that when the time comes, when the calling, when the moment comes for you to face the giant, that you can follow through. It's not just the anointing, it's the work that goes with it. Faith without works is dead. So we practice, we prepare, we pray, we fast, we seek the Lord, we study, we live with integrity and wisdom. And when, if God is bringing something to our face of where we think we might be going next, we don't try to push it and make it happen. We trust that God's going to orchestrate our steps. And that's hard. But that's where you have wisdom in the multitude of godly counsel. We are filled with the church, people with a ton of wisdom. Sometimes we just need to go ask those that are smarter than us, wiser than us, and say, what do you think of this? I've had plenty of times in my life where I haven't done that, and guess what? It didn't go very well. So, one, we can either rely on God's anointing, or we can rely on the what God has given us. Because if you look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So you've all been given weapons. It's the anointing on your life. Maybe it's the tenderness of your heart of the person who's standing with the sign next to the washcloth, or next to the washcloth. This is the car wash and giving them food or whatever it is. There's if we all quieted our minds and asked, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Those of you that know Christ, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And this isn't to make people feel bad, but one of the things that's sad to me when I preach at other places, at churches, like, there's always this call for, like, church ministry or children's ministry. Like, oh, we need more church people. We need more of this. We need more of that. We need people to paint, you know, and clean and all this stuff because he's not going to do it. He already told you all. He's not going to do it. I'm just kidding. I can't. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. He's going to get all the youth there. That's what's going to happen. But, you know, with that, we all have gifts and we're all busy. That's the thing. But what's going to leave the eternal impact is the anointing that God's placed on your life. So Saul could not imagine a victory without armor. And that's how the world thinks. But David knew that success in any area of our life required God. So this was his next step. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. That's his next. He'd never been in that spot before. All he had to rely on is God's faithfulness up to that point. Same is true with us. We have God's faithfulness. He threw off the things that hinder us. We find that in Scripture. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us, that Scripture says. Throw those things off. Pursue Christ. Trust in his faithfulness. Trust in his anointing. Because when we don't trust in his anointing, we end up with a Hagar and an Ishmael, if you know that passage of Scripture. Then you have a whole genealogy of people that are destroying things in the world till this day. When we try to manufacture something, it never turns out the way God intended. So how do we do that? Well, Scripture says all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it for what? To prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We pray. We read Scripture. We ask the Lord to speak to us and say, God, what are you preparing in me now, today, through your word, so that I can do your good work? And again, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship. All of us in this room that know Christ are God's workmanship, created in Christ for what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith in Christ, but he prepared us through Christ to do those good works once we give our life to Christ. So there's things that God has called you to do and anointed you to do in this church. And this one, Ephesians 4:11-16, this is huge. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That's the role of the leadership. It says, and this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Listen to this. This is so key. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So God does that. We're all part of the body of Christ, those that are in Christ, as each part does its own special work. What's your special work? What's your anointing? What's God placed on your life? And maybe it's scary for you. Maybe you've never, I mean, some of you know how to play instruments and you've never told anybody. It's a good band. Not that I'm saying they're needing more people, but you get the point. It says each part does its own special work. It says it helps the other parts grow. What? Wait. It helps the other parts grow. As you do your own special work with the anointing that God's given you, as you pick up your sling, as you pick up your stones and do what God's faithfully called you to do, not only will it help the church overcome giants, it'll help other people grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen? That's what God's calling us to. And so I'm going to close with this. And I would love to do the chorus of that second to last worship song as we pray. But here's something I think God is reminding us today. Is this. What armor do you need to take off today? There are situations and circumstances in our life where God, where either people or ourselves, our lack of confidence, our lack of, I don't believe so much in self-confidence, I believe in confidence in the Lord. You saw that with David. I killed the bear, I did this, but it's the Lord who rescued me. See the difference? So what armor do you need to take off today? And maybe it's some hard conversations you need to have with family members. Maybe it's your parents or you know, we have to have a really a God conversation like, hey, I don't feel like that's what I'm supposed to go to college for. I feel like God's calling me to do that. And those are hard, you know, be respectful, honor your parents. What sling and stone has God placed in your hand? I can look out here. I know a lot of people. They have amazing gifts and talents that they're using for the Lord. And you have that too. But if we're saying, well, Joe has this, and I only have blah, blah, blah. I was talking with a gentleman before service, and he's like, I just have an ability to share my faith. Like, I just pray for people. Like, when I'm at dinner, when I'm out here, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But some people that would scare the living daylights out, well, it's probably not your anointing. You know, not that you shouldn't share your faith, but it's not like going up to the guy at Love's gas station and praying for somebody. You don't have to be like somebody else. And finally, what's the next size he's calling you to grow into? Those are good questions. Good questions to ask ourselves. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Great thing to remember is that victory doesn't come from wearing what doesn't fit. The victory comes when you wear what fits. And you learn that from being around other Christians, being in a small group, jumping in and trying things. That's how that works. Amen? So Holy Spirit, I just thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for the gifts and talents and the anointing that you've placed on each and every person. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ, that you begin to just work in their heart even right now. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you're spiritual, maybe you feel like you're religious, but you've never really felt like God is my Lord and my Savior, and I have completely surrendered my life to Christ. If you've never done that, today's a great day to do that. And if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, let's just close our eyes here. I want you to slip up your hand. We want to pray with you. If you've never given your life to Christ, amen, amen. Just give it a minute. You can keep playing. That's all good. Anybody else? Amen. Let's just pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for saving my soul. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to know what your anointing is on my life. And I want to serve you faithfully all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. What is that chorus? Yeah. Let's sing this together as we go. Yeah.
And I'm fine.